In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football. Nice. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, sir, I put on my big boy pants. Put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
They want to look to the future, we've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan. I
want it all. Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Happy Friday to you. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2. The Odyssey app.
My answer to that would be, who the F cares?
I do, Mike McDaniel. I do. I care. And live on YouTube. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. And hope your mornings are going great. Shout out to anybody who is listening while running the hood to coast. You sickos. I hope you're having a great leg right now.
Exactly.
We'll try and keep the energy
be safe.
Up.
Be safe out there, but embrace the weather. This is your weather.
This is you.
Runner's weather.
That's right. Your mother's a mutter. You're a mutter. We're enjoying the slop. It's slop out there.
Look at this. Look at that.
We got a lot to get to in hour number two. Ian Furness coming up at 7:30. Scott Service was turfed yesterday by the M, so we'll get the Seattle perspective on that. I also want to ask him about his Cougs. We haven't talked much Cougs on the show. They named a starting quarterback. We got to that a little bit earlier in the week. So how's he feeling about his Cougs? And then, of course, the Seahawks are getting closer and closer to starting their season in game one against Bo Nix, baby. It's Bo time in Seattle.
Surprised you're not sniffing around tickets to go up there.
Not my thing.
No?
No, because I mean, I have college football Saturdays.
Have you been to a Seahawks game?
I have never been to a Seahawks game.
In the new stadium?
I have never been.
It's a pretty cool experience.
I imagine. Yeah. It's awesome. It's tough when you're on the road Saturdays for college football.
That's true.
That's too long of a weekend for me. I need my rest day. I need my, on the seventh day I rested. That's gotcha. What I need in football season. So I will be watching that with my fat ass on the couch, there and I can't wait for it. Can't wait for old Scott Hansen in the red zone. I saw this the other day, and it's funny, Sprague and I were texting about this yesterday, too. It's kind of been in the notes, didn't get to it, and then I think there's something here. I think there's a little bit of meat on this bone, okay, on two different angles. One, you actually watch this, so what do you make of it? And then two, would we want this in anything else? So
the two things that I watch that neither of you watch are soccer and
yes,
tennis.
And this is a soccer story.
Okay.
Earlier this week, it was announced that the National Women's Soccer League, the NWSL, in which we
yes.
dominate the dojo in this market.
Yes.
Right? Are we the best team?
The Thorns are
the best organization, probably. One of the best.
Yes.
They have agreed to eliminate their draft and to give free agency to all players. So basically, there's no longer a draft process. There's no longer, you know, it's a free-for-all. You go
right.
sign wherever you want to sign.
But
you're not
going
to get selected to a certain organization.
So, but on the other end, there is some sort of salary cap structure and like teams just can't go. Like this would not work in baseball.
Sure, they are not. Yeah, you can't just spend unlimited money.
Right.
It's also in the
I'm
new
sure
CBA.
There's exceptions and designated players and similar to what the MLS has. But
yes,
I think this more lines up with. And this is the one thing I have followed international soccer. I still don't know fully how you acquire talent from the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, I understand free agency or the transfer window, as they call it, and all that stuff.
But every team has, like, youth programs, too, right on top of it.
But you have academies and homegrown players and some other stuff. So how do you go acquire talent, potential talent, as it's coming up?
Yeah.
So that's the piece. And we'll see how they do. I think if you have a... You have to let the teams rein in because there will always be a few owners either out of desperation because they haven't won and they just get ticked off and they're like, okay, we're getting everything. I don't care what it costs. this year, and then 6 years down the road, it totally screws the organization. Or you just have, you know, like if you did this in the NBA, but there was no salary cap, Ballmer, the Clippers would finally get a title.
Yeah.
Ballmer would figure it out.
I think you have to take this. So I do believe there is still some structure on how much you can pay guys.
So if you have a salary structure where all the teams.
Yes, that's the world we're playing in. This isn't unlimited money where you can go pay anybody.
Have the same pool to work with.
And you go, players can choose. You are no longer drafted to an organization. You are essentially a high school recruit in college football,
yes,
where coaches and organizations have to come recruit you and say, here's our vision,
right,
for you. Come play for us, and you'd take pitches from all the different teams. First off, I think it's a brilliant move for that league. So
yes.
I think women's sports understands that they're having a moment in time here, and maybe there's a cut through and finding a way to make your league more interesting, to have more maybe super dominant teams or more of the best players playing with
but
each
also
other.
Puts more pressure on organizations in how they run their,
to have their S together, yes,
their businesses, what their work environment is like, because players talk.
And you can't just have
players
the first overall pick
players
and get the best player because,
exactly,
you suck and you're a terrible organization.
Exactly.
There is a part
I would
of me
love to see this implemented in the NFL.
Yes.
Because you have a hard salary cap. You have then, you have your rookie. So if they still give them the same rookie player pool,
yeah,
it's like, okay, here's how much money you have. If you want to give this all to one player and do a Coach Ditka, Ricky Williams thing,
go for it.
Have at it.
Yeah, go pay one guy. Or Caleb Williams, we're going to offer you every penny of our rookie,
yeah,
pay, but we're not going to be able to sign any other rookies. That's all that we get.
I
but
would
we can
love
you
to
come
see
here.
The NFL do this. I don't think it would work as well in the NBA. Major League Baseball, you couldn't do this right now. You'd have to come in and they would have to have some sort of salary cap, or you would have to have some sort,
yeah,
of limited pool acquisition for players under the age of 21 or,
sure,
something. And then everybody else is a free agent. You can do that. But you would see in Major League Baseball, I mean, we already have discrepancy there between the haves and the have-nots like none other.
The A's don't spend any money, and I don't
the
think
NFL,
they would spend any money in
I
any format.
I think this would work, and I would love to see it because teams that – I think it would force NFL owners and front offices
– figure your S out.
To get organized.
I completely agree with you because I think there are teams, and in baseball to a certain extent, this is the same way, and it's one of the reasons that revenue sharing is ridiculous, that you allow a team like the A's to basically just skate, not do anything, never try and win, never pay a guy, but
yeah,
we're collecting this shared revenue from the Yankees
and
Red Sox.
Fisher's up to more tricks with his ticket
just,
pricing in Sacramento.
Yes, they jacked up the prices for their last home game of the season, knowing it's the last baseball game ever in Oakland, and they're gouging their fans out of being able to afford, like, just an absolute scumbag to the nth degree. And I hate that people like that are allowed to continue to own teams. Not that in a new format, they would still be the crappy A's. Nothing would change there. But I think to your larger point, and we do this all the time where we look back on guys' careers and we wonder what could have been, like, if he just didn't go there, what could he have turned into? And we've done that with a million quarterbacks. Hell, I feel that way about Bryce Young. I don't know if Bryce Young could be any good. He's an undersized quarterback. That's not an easy thing to succeed as at the next level. But he's playing for an incompetent owner, a team that hired a head coach that didn't really want Bryce Young, but then made him draft Bryce Young and then fired that head coach 8 games in and then hired another head coach. And like that dude's going to be benched in 2 years. He has no chance of being a legitimate starter long term, likely. And I feel horrible for him. And again, is it all his fault? Or could he, you know, ultimately succeed somewhere else? I don't know, but I'd at least want to give him a puncher's chance. Like, it's the one thing positive about Caleb at least going to Chicago. I'm not the biggest Caleb guy in the world, but he's got wide receivers. They seemingly have the rest together in the front office. Like, they seem to be a well-structured organization that's moving in the right direction, and they're going to give him an opportunity to succeed. And you can argue, from a weapon standpoint, not many rookie quarterbacks have had more to work with over the last 20 years than what Caleb Williams is going to have. But that's not the way that it always works, and I genuinely feel bad for some of these guys that just get drafted to a terrible spot, and you have no chance to succeed. If you're playing, yeah, for a bad organization, a bad head coach, and you're not getting any help around you, you're not a starting quarterback after 3 years, and then similar to some of these coaches who take the same job, you're never going to get that opportunity likely again. And it just, you're kind of, all right, that's the label on you. This guy's a bust. This guy's not good. You get your once in a blue moon, Alex Smith or Geno Smith or, you know, Baker Mayfield who popped for Tampa Bay last year. It happens every once in a while, but not very often. And so I think this is brilliant for the NWSL. If you're just joining us, the National Women's Soccer League, there's no more draft, and they're giving free agency to all players. Now, I don't know how this is going to work for players currently under contract. I'm assuming you're not just going to have some big fantasy draft that, like, you protect a certain number of your players or whatever. Or maybe it's just new players coming into the league. But just allowing players to sit down with organizations and decide, like you have basically in every other workforce in America, you graduate from college, I'm a lawyer, I'm this, I'm that, I got a degree, I can go sit down. Okay, these three different companies are going to offer you a job. I can pick which one I want to go work for. That's the way it works with a lot of people in everyday life. And I think it would be awesome to see. I'm with you. I don't think it works necessarily in baseball. But in the NBA and in the NFL, I think it would be awesome. And I think they're smart to try and capitalize on this moment of creating more interest. And let's rip up the CBA. Let's raise salaries. Women's sports is having a moment in this country, and we'll see if they can capitalize on it. But they are getting rid of the draft and free agency. And their commissioner said, unlike a lot of other sports, we compete in a global label market for talent. She thinks ultimately it will be a positive. So if we want to retain, she continued, attract and retain and develop the best players in the world, we believe that we will be most strongly positioned if we remove that artificial barrier to put ourselves on an even playing field with the rest of the world. So they're also raising the league minimum salary from $48,000 to $82,000.
That's the most important
thing. By 2030, the base salary cap, the pool for money designated for each team goes from $3.3 million in 2025 this upcoming year to $5.1 million in 2030. So you're going to have a little bit more money to spend, and individual players will have no limit on pay. Teams will have discretion over how they allocate salaries. So you got a pool of $5.1 million. How do you want to spend it? Fill out your roster. You can attract players any way you want. You don't have to draft them. Figure it out. I think it's awesome. And I would love to see this in other sports.
I would think the NBA is probably getting close. Maybe the NHL could do this. But I think the NHL's way with the entry draft, and guys can still develop in other, you know, in the minors or the juniors.
Yeah, a lot
or
of guys come back to the Dub. A lot of guys
NHL
go to the NHL.
It's got a pretty good handle because they have a fairly hard cap.
Yeah.
The NBA's moving that way, but I think the NFL, because of your roster restrictions, so you got to make sure you got enough money to fill out all of your positions. If they stick with the rookie pool that they have currently, that system set up. So here's the money you have in your rookie pool. But if you want to use it on one guy, or you can get 15 guys to figure out how to divvy it up
for $5 million or $6 million or whatever.
Come in there and whatever it is. It'll be interesting to see then what the big key for the NFL will be, the salary structure for new guys signing. You still have an NFL minimum, so they can't just, you know, give you nothing. There's still a union. You join the union, so
yes,
you have that. I think it could work in the NFL within their current structure, the way they have stuff set up salary-wise.
And I'd feel great for a lot of guys who wouldn't have to go play for crappy organizations, just because if you're the worst in the league, you're allowed to freely draft the best player in the draft, and that's the way that it works. And there's not a lottery system in the NFL where, you know, if you're the incompetent Carolina Panthers, you don't go into a lottery with four other teams for the number one overall pick. You were just given the number one overall pick. That's the way that it works. And so you kind of reward these bad organizations, and you punish some of these great players that are coming into your league and don't really give them a puncher's chance. So I'm in with it. I think the NWSL is smart for doing this. I'm curious if people think this would work in other core four sports. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. You can also get your Sprague and the Line sponsors in there. We will do that coming up at 8:30. Ian Furness in about 15 minutes. I got Quarterback Confidential. What are defensive coordinators around the country saying about the quarterbacks they'll have to face in college football? We'll get to that. Read some of the comments. That's next on The Fam.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ian Furness coming up at 7:30. Listener said, I hope Sprague's listening to R. Kelly on his run. Drip, drip, drip. Drip, drip, drip. Well played. Yeah, it rained a little bit out there. It's going to be a wet weekend, although I think tomorrow's supposed to be dry. Maybe just today, a little bit of rain, kind of leading into the evening. I'm all for it.
It's supposed to clear out by this evening.
Should be cleared out. Tomorrow should be good. Yes. It's nice to get
weekend
everything wet.
Should be great.
Don't need a water. I'm all for a little random rain that you get in August. Let's get to this. So before I get to my quarterback behind the scenes look at what some of the coordinators are saying, I saw maybe the dumbest take of the morning so far, and I'd like to make sure the person gets its proper credit for the dumb comment of the morning that I've seen.
Oh,
you know that when you're on Get Up, you get the memo. You got to bring the heat. You don't just come on Get Up and give milk toast takes. You got to come on Get Up and you got to get something that grabs attention.
Oh, Lord.
And this one got my attention. So Ryan Day is a constant topic across the country. What if Ohio State doesn't win? What if they don't beat Michigan? Do you fire Ryan Day? Where do you go? It's a constant topic. And Desmond Howard was on Get Up this morning, and he was asked, as an unbiased Michigan grad who said Michigan did nothing wrong last year, he was asked about what do they do with Ryan Day, and he said, quote, some fans will say, well, if we got rid of Ryan Day, who will we hire? They went out and hired Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator. So if things go awry, I think they have someone behind Ryan Day where they can say Chip Kelly can be the next coach. First off, just imagine living in a world where that happened. They lose like a game to Oregon or Penn State or, you know, Michigan, whatever game it is they're in the regular season. They fire Ryan Day and hire Chip Kelly is promoted.
No, that is not going to happen.
Do we not?
Chip doesn't want that job.
No.
Anyway.
Do we not remember? Like he was just ahead. Do we not remember? I just saw this and how it worked. It didn't go
You're right.
Great.
That is the dumbest take of the day.
This is a horrible take. Like,
it's just dumb on many levels.
Look, Chip Kelly was lightning in a bottle during his time at Oregon. It was right place, right time. All the stars aligned. He had a new innovative style of offense that some others were running around the country that he put tweaks on and ran at a pace and a tempo that nobody could keep up with. And the 4 years that he was in Eugene were incredible, man, and they were awesome. I was there for all of them, and I loved every second of it. But, like, we have to at some point, Sprague's been hammering this for a long time, and he is ultimately going to end up being proven right on this. Like, to be a serious college coach, it takes so much time and effort. This is one of the reasons that the entire time he has been in Boulder, I have laughed at the idea that Deion Sanders can win. The guy doesn't care. He doesn't want to recruit. He won't do in-home visit. Do you realize how psychotic you have to be a dominant Division I Power 5 head football coach? It takes 20-hour days for like 9 months of the year, and then you get a brief reprieve in like June, in July slightly off, and then fall camp starts again, and welcome back to chaos. Like, this is a never-ending job. It's one of the reasons that so many people wonder if college coaches are going to bolt and go to the NFL and just get out of it, because it's just an exhausting job to have.
Well, the NFL,
and this guy doesn't. Chip Kelly's not a serious head coach anymore. He just isn't. He's a good football mind, but he's not a serious head coach.
Great football mind. And if he can just go into his little offense lab and come up with plays and schemes and that sort of thing, he's perfectly happy.
Ohio State can recruit itself. He doesn't need to do a lot on that front. Just go coach football.
Yeah, and when it's time to talk to a quarterback or running back or whatever about how he envisions them in the system and those sorts of things, then perfect. They can go talk football and then have somebody else, you know, here's everything that comes along with the university and why, you know, all that stuff. But yeah,
he was at UCLA for 6 years. His record was 35-34. He was 26-26 in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And you're going to make that the next head coach at Ohio State? The guy who was in L.A. and he couldn't recruit L.A.? The guy who doesn't want to spend any time and effort on that front? I've talked to people who went on recruiting visits with Chip Kelly when he was a head coach. He didn't care, even when he was at Oregon. He just had to. He had this moment with lightning in a bottle. Willie Lyles helped him a little bit, and they popped, and they had this incredible run. And that was it was an awesome time. But when you have been something for basically 4 years of your career and then something else for almost every other year of your career, I think we have to start changing the narrative. At least I thought we had until Desmond Howard came on Get Up this morning and said, you fire Ryan Day and promote Chip Kelly if they get off to a bad start. Yeah, that'll go over well. Talk about the pressure and having to deal with boosters and all the media obligations. Chip Kelly's going to love that in Columbus, Ohio. He's one of those guys, and I think you hit the nail on the head, who has found his... This is his calling. Let him X's and O's. Let me be in the booth. I'm calling plays. I'm an offensive. That's my strength as a football coach. And let me coach my strength.
And thank you, Chip Kelly, for accepting it and going. I mean, it's not. He's being handsomely paid as a coordinator. It's not like he's.
He didn't get fired at UCLA. He left on his own.
He left on his own.
Yeah. He was probably gonna get fired, but he left before they could turf him.
And recognizing, that's. There's enough money there, and this is the thing, as we see all of this escalates for players, for coaches, for broadcasters, for whatever, we are starting to reach that point at the highest level of our biggest sports where it's not just about making the most money anymore that you can.
No.
It is, okay, you're at a number now where, I have a lifestyle that's going to be better than 99% of the people living in this country.
I'm doing just
fine. How much is enough?
Yes. And is the extra pressure and stress worth it when
exactly.
I can just coach football, X's and O's?
Not that you're not ambitious and a go-getter and all of those things. You can still be all of those things, but to recognize understanding your niche, how you fit into your niche, finding your pocket is... ultimately, so it's like, okay, I know exactly what's expected of me. I am doing most of the things that I do on a daily basis are things that I am good at, mm-hmm. that I thrive in, that challenge me, that excite me, that interest me. And there's always going to be some things that you just got to do. But the bulk of what I get to spend my time doing are things that I want to be spending my time doing.
Yeah.
I am being compensated well, handsomely for it.
Right.
What more do I want?
I mean, you saw this even in the NFL in the offseason with Ben Johnson, the coordinator of the Lions.
Yeah.
And he's saying he got a bunch of offers and teams wanted to sit down with him for interviews. And he's like, if I'm going to jump, man, I want to make sure it's the right spot. I want to make sure I'm going to have success. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get another chance after that first one. And
understand,
I'm in a good spot.
Boy,
like, we can win a Super Bowl.
If I am part of winning the Super Bowl here in Detroit
forever,
just because I'm not the head coach, it doesn't matter. And the experience, that he's been there and you get with some guys and the experience of going through from where they were to where they get to, if that happens. There's no price you can put on that experience. So what if I was the offensive coordinator, the head coach?
Right. I won a Super Bowl in Detroit. That means more than winning five games this year in Tennessee.
Exactly.
Right? So I'm with you. I hope that continues to become a trend. One quick note on Ryan Day, and then we'll go to Ian Furness. But I saw this graphic the other day. It's just funny how quickly things can change, and maybe that is the case for Ryan Day this year. I have my questions about their quarterback, but other than that, that roster is loaded, and they have as good a shot as anybody to win a national championship this year. This was a graphic put up at the start of the 2021 season with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. So he was hired in 2015. Michigan fans wanted to run him out after the COVID year. They had a horrendous COVID year. That was such a dumb season anyways, but they wanted to fire him. His record in his first 5 years at Michigan, or 6 years, I should say, sorry. He was 0-5 against Ohio State, had not beaten Ohio State. He was 3-3 against Michigan State, including losing a game in which his punter dropped the punt and they returned it for a touchdown with 2 seconds left. He was 11-16 against ranked teams. He was 2-12 against top 10 teams, and he had zero Big Ten conference championships. That was 3 years ago today. That's what the narrative was about Jim Harbaugh. He then went to three straight playoffs, won three straight conference titles, won three straight times against Ohio State, and then capped it off with a national championship. Now, this led to a lot of people seeing the graphic and saying, I wonder what changed in Ann Arbor. And, maybe some binoculars and some recording devices, but... Ultimately, he got there. And it's just funny how quickly narratives can change. Maybe that's the case with Ryan Day, a guy who many people want to run out in Columbus. But Desmond Howard, with your dumbest take of the day, saying, hey, if you fire him, just promote Chip Kelly, because that would go great. Scott Servais was fired yesterday. Speaking of losing your job, what do we make of it up in Seattle? What's the reaction? Ian Furness, our good buddy, we'll talk a little Cougs with him as well. Also, Seattle getting closer and closer, the Seahawks, that is, to kicking off their season. Ian Furness is next on 1080 The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Friday, brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Pelican Brewing. Visit PelicanBrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers. Independently brewed since 1996, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's head up to Seattle, where the big news in the Northwest was yesterday. Scott Service, turfed in Seattle, no longer the manager after 9 years. Joining us now is our good friend, Ian Furness, at Ian D. Furness on Twitter, 93.3 KJR, up in Seattle. Ian, good morning to you, buddy. I know a thing or two about bad owners, because we got to deal with one in Portland here. I see this news, and I'm thinking to myself, why is this guy to blame? What's the read on firing Scott Service?
I'm chuckling, though, thinking about the bad owner in Portland, because it's the same owner up here with the Seahawks who we think is really good. So it probably depends on the sport, right?
Yes.
There's people still trying to figure out who Jody is, and really just there might be another guy that's an issue there. I'll leave that at that.
Sure.
It was inevitable. We kind of were getting rumblings that things were going on, and as we hear from Jerry DePoto yesterday, it's like, yeah, we've been thinking about it for a little while, and they've got the worst record in the American League West since June 18th. And that's when they were 13 games above 500, had a 10-game lead in the division. And, you know, who are these guys is the question, right? Are they that team that was running away with the division and 13 clear of the 500 mark? Or are they the team that's currently 500 and 5.5 out of the division and 7.5 out of a wild card? Probably the answer lies somewhere in between. Elite pitching staff and a really bad offensive lineup. And that offensive lineup has caught up to them, and the bullpen isn't what it was last year. It's not nearly as deep. And thus, here we are with Scott Service taking the fall. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. You got to take a final swing at it and see if you can turn things around in the final 34 games. But
right.
I don't think he's the only guy that should have been on the chopping block.
I mean, that kind of leads to the follow-up. So Dan Wilson, is the guy that and they just basically put the full-time manager label on him, not an interim tag. We'll see how that works out. Is this the start, we think? I mean, I'm not imagining that all of a sudden they're going to be the murderous row Yankees from the 1930s as an offense. So I don't think this thing's going to turn around. Is DePoto in question? Like, is this a wholesale change? Where do you think we're heading?
Well, I thought so. And then all of a sudden he's allowed to name a manager that's not just an interim manager, but the full-time manager moving ahead, including, obviously next year. So that's odd that you would, if you're thinking about getting rid of the owner or the GM, he's actually the president of baseball operations. And there's a GM, Justin Hollander, who actually everyone seems to like and respect a lot more than DePoto. But if you're going to make that next move, if this slide continues, and really, frankly, it doesn't matter if the slide continues, let's say they play okay, then wouldn't you get rid of DePoto? Well, then you're bringing in a guy to run baseball that doesn't have the ability to hire his own manager.
Yeah.
This is the most Mariner thing ever. It just is. The Mariners are just being the Mariners, and that's what they do. If hot dogs from heaven, bobbleheads, and, come to the ballpark, and here we are.
Yeah, come overpay. We'll feed you some crickets and then not spend on offense in the offseason. It's incredible are we ever going to look at John Stanton as somebody who seriously cares about winning? Because I imagine today, no matter how you feel, like the DePoto 54% thing, Scott Service, like I'm with you, like maybe shake it up, see if you can affect the end of the end of the regular season. But most of this falls on the lap of John Stanton. And until he shows us that he cares, I don't know why a Mariner fan would have any difference of opinion. And it seems like Root Sports is crumbling around him as well. Like, it just seems like a bad omen for the years to come up there.
Well, there's no doubt Root Sports is crumbling. I mean, Blazers are going to over-the-air broadcast somewhere in Portland, right? I don't know which station, but they're doing that. The Kraken have already done that. So you've lost two-thirds of your properties. They don't do anything else anymore. It's funny I'll bring it back to the Mariners, but you go to Root Sports' webpage and they say about, and they talk about 350 live sporting events a year and all this. No, you've got not even 162. You've got more like about 100, 45 or so
right.
with national games. And then you get a bunch of cooking shows with players in the minor leagues and stuff. And so it's so they don't have the revenue streams. You know, the Kraken were smart. The Blazers were smart. They both got out. And now they're left there. And that was a main, you know, source of revenue for them was the revenue stream was obviously what was going on with the with Root Sports. And they don't have that. The regional sports network model of depending on cash from them is no longer viable. So, but they're not serious. You know, John Stanton's not serious about winning. At least he's never proven to be serious about winning. They're, you know, a top 12 media market, and they spend, you know, somewhere between 16 and 18 in baseball.
Yeah.
Maybe they spend right to where they should be, but really they don't. They could spend more money. And DePoto screwed up. Like there's people that really want to defend him here, our morning show host and others. And it's like, well, the guys just aren't playing well. Well, every year someone doesn't play well.
Right.
Like, right. Oscar Hernandez comes here, has his worst year ever. Colton Wong, his worst year ever. Jorge Polanco, his worst year ever. I can go on and on and on. There's something systemic in the organization, Dirt, and it's just it's not working. And I think most people here would be thrilled, probably like Blazer fans, if the team was sold. But at least, you know, up here, there's no reason to sell because they make money. I think they're in the top. They're in the lower half of spending on payroll, yet they're in the upper third or even better in terms of profit every year.
Yeah, it's just I would be so livid if I was an M's fan because you got this once in a lifetime rotation that you can build around for years to come. Like, just go add two or three bats, man. You got a great chance. Division was down this year. I know Houston's been hot the last couple of months, but really frustrating season. Let's get to hopefully better news for you. How are we feeling about Whitworth football this year?
We're feeling good. I can't wait for Linfield to come up there and they can smash them in the face
Let's
for a
go.
Second year in a row.
Let's
and,
go.
I'm talking to you, Brett Elliott, down there in McMinnville. chirping online all the time about all your wins. That's cool. Well, who have you lost to the last two, a couple, three times?
It's a sore subject with the Swaggart family.
Yeah, Swag's nephew's out for the year with an ACL.
Yeah,
so
he tore his ACL somewhere over the season. So he's starting school, going to rehab.
I love it, man.
That's no fun, man. That's a bummer. But yeah, the two really good programs, man. Hopefully it comes down to the same game again this year. I thought you were going to say good things talking about, you know, Oregon State, Washington State. Let's go.
Well, I did want to ask you about that. I mean, I know that's, you know, it's a sore subject. You know, Sprague's, he's not quite sure how to feel about the upcoming year. Oregon State fan is, they're just kind of lost in the wilderness and trying to find their way home. And I feel horrible for what the fan bases are going through. Where are Cook fan at? Is it the same spot where you're just different schedule? You're playing the weird Apple Cup that doesn't feel the same because it's in September. Just, you named a starting quarterback this week. Like, has your interest in it changed at all? Where are you at going into the year?
I don't know if my interest is my passion's always there. With my kid playing, I don't watch as many games as closely. Try to get to as many, but you know, it's as far as the bigger picture for Cougar fans. Interesting. I had a conversation yesterday with Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, and I kind of asked him because I know he had a little tidbit out there. And I said, what are we rooting for this year if you're a Beaver fan or a Cougar fan? You know, he brought up an interesting point. He said, you know, one of the things that's kind of good this year is that they still have the old bowl lineup and schedule. And so let's assume that the Beavs and the Cougs don't get into the college football playoff. And I do think Wazoo's got a far better chance with the schedule they have. And if they can sneak, you know, if they can win a couple of those games, Texas Tech, Apple Cup type of thing, lose to Boise, get her, who knows what could happen. But it's a long shot. I think they're a better football team than people are giving credit for. But he said, he goes, you know, one of the things you want as Beaver fan, a Coug fan, is you want, you know, if you have a 8-4, 9-3 record this year, you're going to go to a better bowl game than the old, you know, Pac-12 schools because of how the agreement works. Mm-hmm. And frankly, you know, and then he said, if this is the best part, you guys will like this. I said, so really what we want is, because if a team goes to the college football playoff, that takes them out of it, right? So what we want, assuming Oregon's far superior than the other three teams that went to the Big Ten, which they are, then what we end up wanting to see is we want them to get to the college football playoff, and that bumps everybody up a slot, knowing full well that Washington's taking a massive step back. USC is still a fraud, and UCLA might be the second worst team in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're a Cougar fan or a Beaver fan, root for Oregon to run the table. And then hopefully you have a 7-win season or better, and you're going to be in a pretty good bowl game and make some money.
That's a good point. And also maybe get a good opponent, too, on top of it at the end of the year, like a fun kind of
cherry. Root for Utah to win the Big 12?
Utah to win the Big 12.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, you want that to happen. Arizona's going to be okay. I think the other teams will struggle mightily. And the two dumbass Bay Area schools that are playing in the Atlantic Coast Conference, when they look out the window and see the Pacific Ocean, you hope for nothing but bad things and carnage for them. So,
well, you don't connect Wake Forest and Cal. That's never connected in your mind, Ian. Come on, man. It makes sense, doesn't it? The Atlantic Coast Conference on the West Coast. Oh, what are we doing?
We all know the smart person that's really actually stupid, and that's what those two schools are, right? When you think you're the smartest guy in the room, you're probably not. And we're going to go to the ACC. Well, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, have fun. Good luck. Have fun with that when that conference crumbles.
What did Tara Vanderveer think of that? Yeah. Oh, I'm good. I'm out. I'm retiring.
I'm done. I'm not. You want me to fly to Virginia for conference games on a Tuesday night? No, I think I'm going to go hang them up.
We're out of here. Thanks for coming.
Great stuff. Ian Furness, who, by the way, if you call me up again this year, I got a pretty bad track record going up on in Seattle, where Furness has brought me on for 3 straight Oregon and Washington games, which just happened to be the 3 that my program can't win. So I'm hoping if you call me at the end of November this year, that this is the one that turns the schneid, because we need it. We need a little positive momentum. I'm 0-3, honking it up in Seattle, getting Husky fan all riled up, and then my team keeps losing, so hopefully this is the year we could change that. Enjoy the Whitworth football season, buddy. I'm going to be up there tomorrow. Are you going to be at the Ems game tomorrow? Are you coming down to Safeco?
No.
Okay. But I don't blame you. I can't wait to see what the vibes are like with Dan. Hey, Dan Wilson will save the day. Well, I'll be there tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Thanks as always, buddy, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Take care, man. Thanks.
There you go. Ian Furness. Good stuff from him up in Seattle. 93.3 KJR. When you have an owner who doesn't care, and Stanton doesn't care because he makes money, it's a really bad spot to be in. It's a really frustrating spot to be in, but that's unfortunately your reality. You have an owner who is making money who doesn't feel a sense of urgency to do more, because fans go, you pack the stadium, it's full most of the summer, everybody's happy, and okay, and then the football season's here and we all just kind of move on. He's able to make money. As long as he's able to do that, there's not going to be a sense of urgency for him to do anything. I do like his point, though, on bowl games. That's a really good point from Stuart Mandel and Ian Furness. Let's get to a couple of college football notes, and then we'll get to Brett Cianci coming up at the top of the hour. Back after this on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Keep your fake sponsors for Sprague and the Line rolling in. The Vancouver Ford text line, as always.
We actually have real college football games.
Well, you can actually gamble games this weekend.
Yeah.
503-864-6326. You can actually gamble real football games. Speaking of which, I will give you a Week 0 primer coming up at 8:15.
There we go.
Got some notes. My Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are playing this weekend.
Oh.
And I have a weird level of knowledge about that team now, thanks to the new video game. So I'll bring the heat. I'll let you know what you need to know about Georgia Tech.
All right.
As they take on the former quarterback of the Oregon State Beavers, DJ Uiagalelei. We'll get to that at 8:15. Also, one other game that I have circled just because there's not a lot this weekend, but it's football. Football's football. I'm excited. It's back. I will not be around Saturday to watch, but I'm going to DVR these games and I'll watch them when I get back tomorrow. Did that take from Furness? Like, somebody texted in and said he's down bad with that WSU take. I mean, look, you're looking for any level of hope that you can find at this point. Where is your interest level going into the year? Is it waned at all? Is it the same as it's always been? Where is your care meter?
I will be. It's not where it was.
Mm-hmm. Is part of that because of the first game opponent, or just for the season in general? Because Idaho State's a nothing.
Had it been swapped, had they had maybe Boise State first,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, okay, let's go see where things are at. I think for them, it's probably better it worked out this way with all of the turnover on that roster and Trent Bray still trying to establish himself. Let's go play a game that we should have significantly better talent. And I'm all for having I still think you should do an exhibition. I think
Agreed.
States should do it. They should do it. It should be a road game.
They should go to a lower division opponent within their state, help them raise some money for their things.
Yeah, go play Portland
State. Let's have a total run through on, okay, this is how we operate road games. This is our travel schedule. This is what we're doing. This is who you're rooming with. All of that sort of stuff for all the new guys, how they want to operate the entire mechanism. I would even do it. You could do it like week zero or something. But that being said.
Yes.
Boise State, I really want to see. I think that's going to be a real indicator. Boise State is picked to win the Mountain West.
They're a dark horse for a lot of folks to make the playoffs this year.
To be that group of five entrant into the field of 12. So maybe they don't necessarily need to win that game. But is that a game? Are they out there? Can they move the football? Can they do what they want to do? And hopefully, you know, you'd love for him to pull that one off. That'd be great.
Yeah, you win that game, you're feeling great.
And now you're like, okay, then whatever happens with Oregon happens. I'm not going to lose my mind over that. You hope that it doesn't. The worry for that game is that it totally sucks the life out of the rest of the season.
Yeah, if the loss is bad, if it's a blowout, you mean?
If the contrast in where the Ducks are going and what the Oregon State program is left with, is that stark, even if Oregon State beats Boise State?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And then you just get a lump of coal?
Yeah.
I worry that that could deflate everything.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That wouldn't be a good feeling. And that's why I think a lot of Oregon State fan is not. A lot of people on the OSU side didn't want that game to be played this year. And I don't blame you for feeling however you want to feel.
I think for the future of that series, you have to keep. Because once you stop playing it, it's very easy not to schedule that game anymore.
Goes by the wayside. Long-term schedules get filled up and there's not a spot.
You might take some severe lumps here while you sort yourself out, but you have to keep that game on the schedule. You just have to.
That's been my thought, at least in the short term. Keep that alive and then see, you know, if you're 3 or 4 years down the road and Oregon State doesn't find their way back into a power conference and the gap widens and widens and widens and widens,
you can decide this just isn't in the best interest.
Why are we losing
either?
By 40 every year? This is stupid. I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't blame anybody for wanting to make that decision. I tend to agree with you in the short term, but I do think the bowl thing, like, look, we can make fun of it and mock it. I don't try to ever do that to Oregon State, Washington State, because it's
point
horrible.
Of the year,
you get to a Holiday Bowl at the end of the year. You get to go to Vegas. You get to go to, I mean, just insert whatever.
Alamo Bowl
down
and you're
San Antonio.
Playing, you know, and you would love to play somebody from the Big Ten or the SEC.
Yeah.
And be on that stage at that time of the year.
Go win that game and say, look at us. Plant your flag saying, we're still here. It's a hell of a way to end your season.
Recruiting-wise, we're still significant. We know it's ugly in terms of the process that we've had to go through to find our next landing spot. But there's enthusiasm. There's, you know, all of the things that college football recruits are interested in.
That's a good way.
Other
to end
than
your
not
year.
Having a conference, you know, affiliation necessarily.
Yeah. So we'll see how the year goes. We're a little over a week away. A week from tomorrow will be the start for both the local schools. We do have week zero this weekend, but for Ness, bringing up, I think a good point. A silver lining at the end of the year is the bowl tie still being to the old Pac-12, that you get some of these, you know, new teams and new conferences going to the playoff, Utah, Oregon, Arizona, potentially, USC sneaking in if that happens. You might have a chance for a better bowl game at the end of the season than you would have in the old structure of the Pac-12, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. We will continue in college football to start the final hour. Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews. He's going to join us, his thoughts on the playoff, how he thinks the season's going to go, some of the big-time matchups, how does he feel about the Northwest schools. He'll join us to start the final hour. I'll give you a week zero primer, everything you need to know about the three mostly crappy games and one decently okay game that is going on tomorrow in the college football world. And we will, of course, spring the line at 8:30. Get your fake sponsors in 503-864-6326. Loaded final hour, don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners.
It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.